Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Hanging out with you until noon, then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC. Oh, good fade. The Kings fell to the Timberwolves 117-115 last night. 916-909-1320. 916-909-1320 is the Elk Grove Kia talk line. If you call in, and we would love to hear from you, getting your reactions to the Kings' loss last night, it's either going to ring for a while, or you're going to be put through right away. We don't have a call screener. So when we answer, it's me. You're on air.
You're on air. And that's why he calls everyone Don.
And that's why everyone is Don. Because our call screener is...
Except for Mitch in New Jersey, which we know Mitch in New Jersey's phone number, and that's why.
Yes.
It says Mitch in New Jersey.
But even the people, even the other caller IDs that I recognize, Don.
Okay.
Yeah.
You like messing with people. Yeah. I love it.
Mitch is just a... Mitch is special. Got a special place right here.
So many
in
ways.
In my heart. We had Steve call in, not Don. Steve, he corrected our call screener before the break, and he wondered why the Kings were ramping up Kevin Huerter in the regular season and not in the preseason. It's because he wasn't cleared to play basketball games or couldn't play in basketball games.
Yeah, and like, look, I think it's more complicated than that, right? Like, there's 82 games in the season, and if you have to give a few points away in game one, game two, game three, so game five, game six, game 65, you have a more functional player, then that's what you have to do. I mean, Mike Brown doesn't have another option here. The Kings play Thursday, they play Saturday, they play Monday. They will not have time to practice. If they do practice, it's more walkthrough stuff, prepping for the game. And so there, once the games start, there's no way to get Kevin Huerter acclimated. And like, look, the best way to get Kevin Huerter out there and moving is to have him face as many different looks as possible.
Yeah.
And
gotta let him play.
Yeah, you gotta let him play through it, or don't. You know,
here's the deal. I understand if you're frustrated with how the Kings game went last night. I totally get it. Kevin Huerter playing 20 minutes is not why the Kings lost last night.
No,
it was way down the list of things that went wrong. Especially when the alternative was Keon Ellis, who didn't look great and only played 11 minutes. So. I just was down my list of problems.
Yeah, sure. I think it was really, really far down the list. I think just overall, he still had the same pull. Mm-hmm. He still saw the reason the spacing opened up. I mean, look where the Kings were in the first quarter. And then, you know, they were playing extremely well in the first quarter.
Yeah.
And they started to build a lead and they gave it back right at the end of the first quarter. They gave up a three. They should have been up five coming out of the first quarter. A lot of that happened while Kevin Huerter was on the floor. You know, they were a plus six with Kevin Huerter on the floor in the first quarter. And I didn't think he played poorly. And I still think that there are moments where you can see like the old Kevin Huerter. It's just going to take a little while. He didn't play for 7 months.
Jill Adge posted these splits last night. Kings Twitter MVP Jill Adge posted these splits last night. The Kings starting lineup had an offensive rating of 134.5, which is an insane number. mm-hmm. in 13 minutes together, a defensive rating of 103.4. That's a net rating of 31.
Whew.
That is good.
Yeah.
You're going to win a championship if you do that. The closing lineup, DeRozan, Sabonis, Fox, Monk, and Murray. Offensive rating of 125, defensive rating of 105 for a net rating of plus 20. Also outstanding.
Yes.
That's what matters.
It is.
Like those two lineups being really good is a good start.
Yeah, and like look, like I warned people in the beginning, if the Kings go 500 out of the first 10 games, where I still believe they could still go 8-2 in the mm-hmm. first 10 games. If they go 500, that's not the end of the world. Mm-hmm. And in that, after that 10-game sample size, if Kevin Huerter is not acclimating to the offense and he's not figuring it out,
mm-hmm.
Mike Brown will make a change if he has to.
Yeah, 1,000%.
Now, it's got to be like that Keon is pushing
yes.
and that Kevin is struggling. And so far, we haven't seen the push and we haven't seen, like, maybe we've seen the struggle from Kevin, but
yeah.
Like you expect him to struggle. He did not play in the preseason. And yep. there's no other way to get him acclimated and up to speed than to put him in and let him fail, let him succeed, let him grow, let him, like, figure out how to work his way into this lineup.
916-909-1320, 916-909-1320 if you want to join the program on the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line. You've been hearing our thoughts on the Kings' loss to the Timberwolves. Let's hear yours. Don, you're on the air with the Insiders. He's James. I'm Kyle. What's up?
Hello.
Hey, Don. Oh, there we go. Don. Don, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Tim. Can you hear me?
Yeah, hey, Tim. Sorry, our call screener got your name wrong. What's up?
I apologize. Hey, I think you guys are great. I appreciate you guys. I listen to you every day. I don't know. I just keep hearing like all kinds of different things. But I mean, Fox has got to score more than 15, and I think we win that game. You know what I mean? Especially if he's going to be considered like, you know, all NBA. I don't know. I just wanted to hear your guys' thoughts, and I think we're fine. But anyway, I just wanted to hear your guys' thoughts.
Great.
I think Fox could have scored 5 more and kind of totally changes the game. You know what I mean?
Okay, great. Thanks, Tim. Appreciate the call. I don't disagree. You need more scoring from Fox for sure.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
There's going to be games like this. There's also going to be games where he goes for 40.
Yeah, man. I'm chalking up almost everything last night. Save for like the 3-point defense. The Timberwolves went 20 of 50 from three. They shot 40%.
Mm-hmm.
I'm chalking almost everything else up for now as game one. Call me at Christmas. If this stuff is still an issue at Christmas, we'll talk. But I just, would you like to see De'Aaron Fox be a little more aggressive putting the ball in the hoop? Like, yeah, no doubt. I couldn't agree more with Tim. But at the same time, he's dishing out 11 assists. He was not forcing shots. I think somebody in the chatty house noted he had no points in the fourth quarter. That's not great. But again, this is figuring out that balance with Malik Monk and with DeMar DeRozan and with Domantas Sabonis and Keegan Murray and how this looks.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be more concerned, like I said, if he's not scoring against the Lakers.
I totally agree. And then I'm also going to add in that, like, we can't excuse the fact that Minnesota is one of the best defensive teams in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And the Kings scored 115 points against them.
Yeah, man.
And, like, you can say what you want about, like, you know, who scored what. But last season, their defensive rating was 108.4. They were the best defensive team in the league.
Yeah.
They were two points better than the Boston Celtics.
Defensively.
Defensively. Like
Boston Celtics, good team, in my opinion.
Yeah, they are a quality ball club. Exactly. So again, like if you're going to put up 115 against a really, really good team in your opener,
mm-hmm.
like this is the first game. This is, you shouldn't expect this to look perfect.
You got nothing from Kevin Huerter and you got 15 points from De'Aaron Fox and you put up 115 against Minnesota on opening night.
Yeah.
Like I said, there was so much more good than bad.
No, I totally agree.
I get, like, you want to win all the games. I understand the frustrations and I understand that there were several things that didn't go right. But so much of it I'm chalking up to game one. Let's hear from Don. Don, you're on the air. You're on the Insiders with Kyle and James. What's up? Don, are you there? Hey, Don. Going once. If you're wondering if we're talking to you, we are.
Hey, do me a favor.
Yes.
Do you see that blue truck right there?
Oh.
That blue truck right there. Yeah. With the dog.
He's not talking to us.
I'm going to turn that down before it gets bad. I'm gonna let him hang out. We'll try this again in a second. I can't wait to hear what he has to say. Can't wait to find out what happened with the blue truck. I got so many questions.
Yeah.
I'm going to try again. Hey, Don, are you there? Hello, caller. You're on the Insiders.
Hello?
Yes. Hello, Don. How's it going? You're on the Insiders with Kyle and James. What's up?
Oh yeah, you calling people Don again. I'm tripping. Yeah, this is Titus.
Titus, hey, what's up, bro?
I'm pointing the finger at Mike No Brown, No Defense Brown. He refused to, like, have him guard the three-pointer. We didn't watch it all preseason. He used to have him like a defensive stopper, like Draymond Green, and he used to, like, Tristan Thomas when he was in his prime, and LeBron and stuff like that back then. We don't got defensive players like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Titus, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Did the blue truck move?
Did what?
Did the blue truck move? We heard you we heard you talking about a blue truck. I just want to make sure it moved where it needed to go.
Oh no, I'm outside, man. Don't worry about the outside. You know, if I have somebody, you know, doing me a favor, man. That's all I'm trying to do.
Titus, appreciate you listening. Appreciate the call, buddy. We'll talk to you. Thanks. All right.
Okay.
I'll let you take it. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, like, they went 20 of 50, and, like, they also have, like, guys who are not great three-point shooters going 5 of 6 in Julius Randle. I mean, overall, I think the Kings did solid defensively. It's really tough to defend Naz Reid behind the arc, especially he throws up laser beams from, like, 30 feet.
His three-point, just his jumper, gives me anxiety.
It's angry.
Like, duh.
It is.
It's just like, nah!
It's like when he goes up for a dunk,
yeah.
He throws it out. When he goes up for a three, it looks like he's throwing up a three as he's just like he's dunking.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I like, look, do the Kings have trouble defending the three-point line? Yes. That's, you know, it's something that's happened the last couple of years. But at the same time, Mike Brown had this team improve to, like, the number 14th defensive rated team in the league. They are also, like, I want to say, like, number 8 after the All-Star break.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they can play defense, but you have too many moving pieces that are new.
Yeah, and one of their keys defensively is Keon.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Keon Ellis, Titus said Mike Brown's used to having, like, a defensive stopper. Like, that was Keon on the perimeter last year. He was wreaking havoc. And I think Keegan Murray can be that guy too. And if you have both of those players on the court together when they're playing defense at a high level with De'Aaron Fox, who's a very high level perimeter defender,
yep,
you're in really good shape. Would every team like to have a Rudy Gobert standing around the rim? Like, yeah, for sure. But I think the Kings are figuring out how to make do without it. I don't blame their defensive struggles on Mike Brown.
Yeah. And I'd also, like, Jaden McDaniels 0 for 4. Anthony Edwards 5 of 15, 2 of 7 from Connolly, 1 of 6 from DiVincenzo. You did a good job against those guys. It's we talked about it yesterday as one of the keys to the game. They let Nikhil Alexander Walker bust him for 3 for 5 and Randle.
Julius Randle hitting 5 of 6 is silly.
Yeah.
If he goes 3 of 6, they win that game. Right? Yeah. Like, it just...
Even 2 of 6, which is more around where he is as, like, a career shooter.
Right, right.
Like, if he goes 2 for 6, then we're not concerned.
Mm-hmm.
It's those extra 3. If they went 17 of 50 and shot 34% from 3, everyone is totally fine.
Yeah.
But a dude who doesn't typically hit all of his 3s just loves to play against Sacramento and lit you up.
Mm-hmm. Naz Reid is only 25 years old.
Yeah. Telling you.
He looks 40.
I would have, like, if I were the Kings, that's the guy that, like, I would have gone and offered them, like, at least one first-round pick and maybe more to get Naz Reid. Like, I believe in Naz Reid as a player.
Yeah, man, he's...
Especially as a player that could play alongside.
And 19, 13, and 3 last night. Man, good player.
Yeah.
Good player. Sixth man of the year potential for Naz Reid.
Oh, yeah, you think so?
Yeah, he just needs to start some games and then he'll be there. Elk Grove Kia talk line is 916-909-1320. That's 916-909-1320. Don, you're on the Insiders with Kyle and James. What's up?
It's the real Don of Sacramento, Kyle.
There he is. What's up, Manny?
What's going on?
What's happening?
Hey, good to see you yesterday, James. I don't know where Kyle went. He just kind of ghosted everybody.
Yeah, I heard you were going to be there and decided not to show up.
Oh.
But I think everything after, like, any major criticism after game one is so wild and ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, this is a new team. Like, yes, there's some there's core members here, obviously, but there's new changes, even with Herter and Trey coming back, who haven't played at all in the preseason.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to figure out the right rotation, who's really going to be the core rotation. Like, this is what Mike's doing right now. This is what every coach does. And if you win the game, it's not championship or bust. And if you lose the game, it's not let's sell everything. It's literally, in my opinion, this is going to take anywhere from 15 to 20 games before you get a real understanding of where they are. And not to say you can't know now what they need, but you'll have a better look, because there's always players that surprise you on what they're able to contribute, and there's players that end up not doing what you thought they could do at the end of the day. And
yeah,
15, 20 games, I think you get a core better look at what you really need and what you have, and that's when you start really critiquing after that.
Yeah, no doubt. And once you get those reps, things start getting a little bit easier, for sure. Thanks for the call, Manny. Appreciate you.
Thanks, man.
Yet, Kyle, if they lose by 20 to Portland on Monday, then people can get upset. If they're 0-3,
yeah, sure,
and you lose to Portland, that's not a good team, then people can start to say, hey, look, like, what is going on? But that's not where we are.
It's not. Look, there's, and this is what I was, I'm really trying to walk this line here, because it's not that. It's not overreacting to react to something. It's not overreacting to go, I'm a little worried that the Timberwolves went 20 of 50 from three and this trend continues. It's like just spotting things and going, okay, hey, here's all the things that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And now let's go to the Lakers game. It's just, and if the Lakers go 12 of 40 from three, then okay, cool. But if the Lakers shoot 40% from three again, it's like, okay, well,
yeah,
it's just
a trend.
If Keon Ellis really struggles again, it's like, oh, okay, well, you've got to figure it out.
Yeah,
it's just, yeah, no overreactions.
No, I totally agree. And for as much as we're looking at Julius Randle go 13 of 17 from the field, Rudy Gobert went 1 of 2 in 35 minutes. Mm-hmm. Like, they shut him down completely. Like, he was a non-factor in the game. And so there are things that will happen in a game that you can point to. But, you know, 40% from three is really good. It's worth 1.2 points per possession. Mm-hmm. Hate to tell people this, but Rudy Gobert shoots like 65%, 70% from the field. If he would have had 10 shot attempts and hit 7 of them, the score probably would be even worse, because mm-hmm. that's worth more than those 3-point shots. It just is. Like, a 70% mm-hmm. shot is worth 1.4 points per possession. So, again, like, I think that there are things that they did really well, and then there are some things that they just, you know, they let a couple of really, really talented offensive players get loose.
Yeah, man.
It happens.
It does. And if this is why, like, if let's go to the world where Keegan's three goes down last night.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck at the end of the game, and they win 118 to 117. Everything is exactly the same.
Yeah,
we're just coming in and we're playing the highlight of the three, and wow, Keegan, what a cap to a great game, and that's more the focus. But man, there were Jill Edge in the chat. The weaknesses are the same that we have seen, and until a trade is made, they will still be there. Like, yes,
yeah,
I have my opinion of the Kings changed 0% last night.
I'd also say this: the best thing that happened last night was it. Keegan Murray actually took the shot.
Yeah, because man. Yes.
If
thank
we
you.
Rewind to the week before,
process over results,
where he did not take the shot, and we're all sitting here like, oh man, you got to take that shot.
Mm-hmm.
He did take the shot,
mm-hmm.
and it didn't go down, but it's part of it,
mm-hmm.
right? And Mike Brown explained after the game, part of the problem was that the lob in the pass, mm-hmm. you got a new guy throwing the pass in DeMar DeRozan, but not only that, but because of the way the defense moved, the pass took a long time to get there.
Yeah.
and Keegan Murray was not as open as he should have been, and he had to pump fake it and throw it up. So like these things happen.
You know? Yeah, that's it.
Yep.
It's kind of the long and short of it. Let's put a pin in the Kings game. We got other NBA action to get to. We also have a couple of NFL games to get to this weekend. Let's take a look around the rest of the league as the Kings were playing against the Timberwolves. The Celtics beat the Wizards 122-102 as the Celtics' path to 70 continues. I think they're going to win 70 games.
Or 82.
Or all 82. Jordan Poole had 17 points in the first quarter. Salute to Jordan Poole, man.
It was so funny. We were sitting there and you said, man, Jordan Poole had 17 points in the first quarter. And I don't think you caught it when I said it initially. I said, yeah, how far were they down? And Sean, sitting next to me, starts chuckling. He's like, yeah, I bet you they were trailing, weren't they?
2 points.
Yeah.
They're hanging with them.
Yeah, they were losing despite the fact that he scored 17.
Yeah, because the Wizards stink.
Yeah.
And the Celtics are very good. Shout out to Jordan Poole. I think he finished with like 22. 24. Something like that.
The Celtics like, oh, hey, someone go turn that faucet off.
More important for the Kings, though, a couple of heavyweight battles in the West. The Mavs played the Spurs 120-109. Klay Thompson, 22 points, 6 of 10 from 3. Luka Doncic did Luka stuff with a near triple-double. He had 28, 13, and 8, something like that. And Wemby really struggled. 17 points, 9 boards and assists. Went just 1 of 8 for 3, from 3.
And what, 3 of 16 from the field?
Yeah. No, it wasn't. It ended up being better than that. 5 of 18, maybe. Yeah, not a great night for Wemby.
Yeah, that's because he hit a couple of late shots. Mm-hmm. Like he was not having a good night. Yeah, Klay Thompson was still open. There was one play where I think he tapped his toe like 3 times.
Yeah,
and then finally, like, okay, I guess nobody's coming over here to defend me. I will shoot the ball again.
Is Klay Thompson the player that Klay Thompson was 8 years ago? Like, no, of course not. But if you're putting him in a spot where who was the dude that they had who went to the Clippers?
Derek Jones Jr.
Derek Jones Jr. Thank you. Derek Favors was the only name I could think of, and I knew that was wrong. You have Klay Thompson shooting those shots now instead of Derek Jones Jr. That's a decent upgrade. Decent little upgrade.
Yeah, it's definitely an upgrade. And I would even
28,
say
28, 10, and 8 for Luka, by the way.
He's taking those shots instead of Tim Hardaway. And yeah. Hardaway is so inconsistent. So now they have Najee Marshall instead of Derek Jones Jr. But still, I think that's one of those teams where, like, teams will make adjustments. And the other thing they're going to do is they're going to make Klay play defense. Mm-hmm. And at some point, Klay's going to have to figure out if he can still move laterally and all that stuff. But
yeah.
But you'll take the 22 points in 26 minutes.
The thing that jumps out to me the most, because I had the Mavs finishing second in the West this year.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that makes me feel best about that is Derek Lively, 15, 11, and 6.
The 6 is crazy.
Dude's figuring it out, man. He can hoop.
Yeah.
I like Derek Lively a lot.
And coming off the bench, like, what?
Yeah. Yeah, man. Thunder 102, Nuggets 87. Chet Holmgren, 25 and 14 and 4 blocks.
Yeah, I said this at the time, and I'll say, like, the Chet Holmgren, what is still, in my opinion, the perfect fit to go alongside Domantas Sabonis. Like, there's no way to get him, but that's one of those players where if you had him next, like, his ability to shoot, his ability to block shots, his ability to pass, rebound, elite defender. Yeah, he's good.
I cannot wait to see the Kings play the Thunder.
Yeah, it's going to be
Monday,
fun.
November 25th. I've got the date circled. That's going to be a ton of fun to see where the Kings stack up against a team that I think a lot of people had as the best team in the West.
Mm-hmm.
And man, they looked like it last night.
Yeah, I'm a bit confused. Isaiah Joe in the starting lineup. That's interesting. As opposed to Caruso. But yeah, they've got a lot of players, a lot of depth.
Yeah. Good team for sure. The Kings don't play again until Saturday, where they will visit the Lakers and then come home for one against the Blazers and then go on a long road trip.
A really weird road trip.
Yeah.
It's like Utah, Atlanta. It's a weird one.
Are the Lakers just going to play all home games this year?
I think so. I because, you know, next they're going to bring out like the best mother-daughter tandem of all time and have them sit courtside.
Nice. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. At Utah, man. If the Kings played like here's my overall overarching takeaway from last night. If the Kings play like they did last night against the Lakers, against Portland, and then their road trip, Utah, Atlanta, Toronto, Miami, home Toronto, home Clippers, they're going to be a lot better than 0-1.
Yeah.
They're going to win a lot of those games if they play like they did last night.
I totally agree. Yeah, so that's why I'm not concerned. Like, yeah, I was impressed. I was worried that they would come in. And don't discredit the fact that they hadn't played in a week and that Minnesota had already played. They played on Tuesday. They had already opened their season. There is a value to that and getting a game in beforehand. It's just like in preseason we talked about, you know, the Kings played the Warriors in game one, but the Warriors had already played. And then the Warriors busted them for 29 threes or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. There's like, now that everyone's going to play two or three games, you're going to start sort of it even out.
Yeah.
But in that first game, if you're playing against someone who's already been on the big stage, bright lights, you know, they already got to see a father and son tandem play and the Griffies, all that stuff, yeah, you know, pretty crazy. Happen.
Best mother-daughter tandems of all time, 916-909-1320. Silk Grove Kia talk line. Jesse Tapia is going to join us next. We've got mad props to go through. We'll take a look at some Week 8 NFL action. We'll look back at the Kings game last night. Plenty to get to in the final segment. He's James. I'm Kyle. Jesse Tapia joining us next for the handoff here on ESPN 1320. It's Sacramento Sports Leader.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Very damn right. James Hamm, Kyle Madsen, and Jesse Tapia, who produces D'Lo and Casey, the show that's coming up next.
Facts.
What's up, Doc?
Nothing much. Happy Friday. How you guys doing?
Oh, you know, I'm doing great. Got a lot to talk about. Got to remind everybody right now that Socktober is here. And people need socks. Bring them to 3010 Lava Ridge Court, Suite 220 in Roseville. That's 3010 Lava Ridge Court, Suite 220 in Roseville. The Gathering in a local organization is going to pick up those socks and distribute them to the unhoused in the greater Sacramento region. We would appreciate your donations immensely. Also, tonight, Game 1 of the World Series, Yankees at Dodgers down in L.A. Coverage begins right here on ESPN 1320 at 4 p.m.
Let's go Dodgers. Hope we're able to get it done this time.
Yeah, everybody big knows Dodgers you're a dyed-in-the-wool Dodgers
Mookie
guy.
Betts.
Yeah.
Shout out Shohei.
I have a Dodgers hat and a Yankees hat. I'm just gonna alternate depending on. I want seven games.
Yeah. Me
so
too.
I'm rooting for whichever team lost the previous day.
I watched that 2004 Red Sox documentary on Netflix this morning, so I'm trying my hardest.
The Soxumentary?
Yeah, I'm trying my hardest just to make sure the vibes are ready.
Nice, dude.
I'm doing my part.
I love that for you, man.
Yeah.
We'll get to Mad Props. I have a question for you guys regarding Jesse's Boston Celtics, who won again last night.
82-0 Boston Celtics.
82-0 on deck.
We're pretty disappointed if it didn't turn out that way.
They lose a game. Jesse's like, God.
We're going to have to change the NBA from what I've seen on Twitter.
Should they keep shooting? Should they eliminate the three-point line? We'll talk about it next. No, we need to get to Mad Props.
Oh.
Yeah, we got Mad Props coming up. We got the 49ers-Cowboys game Sunday night. We have the Lakers-Kings game Saturday night. I'm so happy that we're back with football basketball crossovers
for
Mad Props. Here we go.
It's time for Mad Props. Two games, two props. Which number will be higher? That's for Kyle and James to decide. Here's Mad Props.
Yeah, it's Mad Props time. So I pick a prop from the Niner game and a prop from the Kings game. We try and pick which number of those two is going to finish higher. James Hamm, you're up first. We've got Jordan Mason rushing attempts or De'Aaron Fox field goal attempts.
Ooh, that's a good one, Kyle.
Thank you.
That's a good one. I am going to go De'Aaron Fox field goal attempts.
Very good.
I think it'll be like 18 to 17.
Yeah, I think this one's going to be close. I feel good about this one. Jesse?
I'm going to go De'Aaron Fox, too. I feel like the Jordan Mason carries thing has been a loser the last couple weeks. So I'm going to go with Fox.
Yeah, I'm going to go... I'm going to go with Fox, too, because I think he's going to make a concerted effort to get some shots up. And even if he only gets to 17 or 18, I don't know that the Niners with Jordan Mason's shoulder are going to want to get him well above that. And I think there's in close ones like this, I always go to the ceiling. And I think the ceiling for De'Aaron Fox is he gets hot against the Lakers defense that isn't very good and puts up 23, 24 shots.
Yeah.
Whereas Jordan Mason, I think your ceiling is probably closer to 20.
Fox only got 14 in this game yesterday, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he'll make an effort to get more in this next one.
All right, Jesse, you're up next. Brock Purdy passing attempts or Malik Monk points plus assists?
Malik, oof. I'm going to go Malik Monk points and assists.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll go with Malik.
James.
That's one of my favorite prize pick stats, the Malik Monk points assist stat.
Yeah.
It's one of my go-to, but I'm going to go Brock Purdy in this one.
I'm leaning that way, too.
Yeah, I think we're going to get like 28.
Yeah, Malik would need to have a huge night, and maybe he will because the Lakers can't guard on the perimeter.
I'm banking on 20 points at least for Malik in this one.
Yeah, there's a chance that he goes for like 20 and 7, and Brock only puts in the air like 25 times. I'm leaning toward Purdy, though. I think it's going to be a game where the Niners are going to have to score, and they're going to put the ball in the air. Ricky Pearsall catches James. Juwan Jennings likely out. He's missed the first 2 days of practice this week. Also missed week 7 against the Chiefs. So it looks like Deebo Samuel and probably Ricky Pearsall are going to be your two starting wide receivers for the 49ers.
Deebo's back?
Deebo is...
out of the hospital and back on the field.
He was limited in practice yesterday. My guess is he's going to play. Ricky Pearsall catches or Domantas Sabonis three-point attempts.
Ooh, I'm actually going to go Ricky Pearsall catches.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it'll probably be 5 or 6.
Yeah.
Like if this is how far down they are on, with their amount of players they have.
Yeah.
Jesse? I'm going to go Ricky Pearsall too. I see Domas maybe taking 2 threes at most next game.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a guards game.
Yeah.
I don't know because I think they will like to pull AD away from the basket because he's such a good shot blocker. And if they go Jackson Hayes off the bench and try to stick Jackson Hayes on Domas, yeah.
I think there's work for Domas to be done on the interior.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think he's going to want to shoot as many threes in this game. Jesse, George Kittle targets, keeping in mind Ricky Pearsall likely starting a wide receiver, or Keegan Murray rebounds. 11 boards for Keegan last night.
Give me George Kittle targets.
James.
Ooh. I think they're both going to be around 10.
Yeah,
I'm going to go Keegan Murray.
The number I had in my head.
I'm going to go Keegan Murray.
Going Keegan. Yeah, I'm going Kittle because we haven't had a good like 17 target George Kittle game in a while. I'm going with the ceiling here. There's a real chance that Brock Purdy is just leaning heavily on George Kittle in this one. And I don't know if the Cowboys have anybody who can defend him. I'm riding with Jesse on this one, and I'm going with George Kittle targets. James, 49ers red zone touchdown rate. 49ers red zone touchdown rate.
Okay.
Or Kings 3-point percentage.
Whew. I think the 49ers are going to figure out the red area.
Okay.
I think we're gonna see an increase in touch, despite the fact that they don't have a couple of their wide receivers or McCaffrey.
They're right around 40% for the year in the red area.
Yeah.
Jesse?
I think I want to go with the 3-point percentage. This game kind of feels scary Sunday night between the 49ers and Dallas. I'm not sure either team is going to kind of
Like a rock fight.
Yeah, exactly.
Man,
I'm gonna go with the 3-point percentage. I don't feel great, but I'm gonna stay there.
Yeah, I could definitely see one of those games where the Niners are like 1-for-5 in the red zone.
Mm.
Yeah. Last one, Jesse. 49ers total points or the Kings leading scorer?
Kings leading scorer.
James.
Oof. I'm gonna go 49ers total. 49ers points.
Someone's going for 30 plus on the Kings on Saturday.
Yeah, that's what I don't think it's going to be the distribution night in and night out that we saw last night. I think last night was a really like nice, evenly balanced offensive game.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm with Jesse. At some point, like somebody's going to just have a monster game, right?
Yeah, I think like yesterday, Fox only took 14 shots. It's fine the way they played game one or whatever. But if anyone's going to have to like give up their shots, I want it to be the other guys. Like I want Fox to get his. I think we'll see more of that on Saturday.
Yeah, I got the Niners right around like 25 to 27.
Someone
maybe,
will score more than
maybe.
That. I think someone will
like
score
no Ayuk, no CMC, no Jennings.
That was gonna be a rock fight.
I think the Niners are gonna score a ton.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because
what makes you think that?
Yeah.
Because I don't think Dallas' defense is very good.
That's the case. No DeMarcus Lawrence. No Micah Parsons.
Yeah. Yeah. And I still think they can score. I think Mason can get a couple of touchdowns. Purdy's going to throw a couple of touchdowns. Yeah. I think Niners are going to score 30 plus. So, yeah, I think the Kings could have somebody right there, but I still think that Niners are going to score.
I'm going Kings leading scorer because I don't trust the 49ers right now.
Okay.
Yeah. I also don't trust the Lakers defense. So that's where I'm landing.
Fair enough.
Mad props. We'll revisit those on Monday. 49ers again. This is the 49ers Sunday night game against the Cowboys and the Kings Saturday night game against the Lakers. And we'll revisit that on Monday.
Nice.
Sounds good.
Okay. Here's a fun question. Who loses first? The Kansas City Chiefs or the Boston Celtics? Let me get their schedules up for you.
Yeah, I was going to pull it up.
The Chiefs play the Raiders tonight. Or no, I'm sorry, not tonight, this weekend.
Okay.
The Celtics, stand by. I had it open and changed it, and now I've got to get it back. The Celtics have the Pistons tomorrow, and then they have the Bucks in Boston, then they're at the Pacers. Those are the next three games. And then they're at the Hornets twice.
I think it's Boston because they play so many more games. I think the Chiefs get through the Raiders pretty easily.
Yeah, Boston's got a couple in there where it's like, oh, they can get you. You can be got there or something like that.
So by Monday, by November 10th.
I can see the Chiefs win in the next 2 weeks or whatever.
Is that right? Okay, yeah, November 10th. The Chiefs have the Raiders, then they're at the Raiders, home Buccaneers, home Broncos. At Bills.
Yeah, Chiefs aren't losing until at least the Bills probably.
At Bills is November 17th. If I'm circling a game, the Chiefs are going to lose in those coming up.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one I'd circle. So the Celtics, by November 17th, oh my God, they got so many games before then. Although, man, so we talked...
You got the Celtics going 24-0?
Bucks, Pacers. They could lose on the road to the Pacers, I guess. But then it's Hornets twice, Hawks, they get the Warriors at home, Nets at home, they're at the Bucks, that's tough. But then home Hawks, at Nets, home Raptors.
It's going to be a fun season, boys.
Like, dog.
It's going to be a fun season.
I think they're setting the...
There's a legit chance that the Chiefs lose before the Celtics do?
I don't know. That's tough. Like, that's, we're going on 3 weeks of just not losing. I know. I get it. I get it.
Good. And it's,
you figured have to do like one, maybe.
But the Chiefs have a bona fide like losable game there in Buffalo.
Yeah.
Like, that's when it's like, man, Buffalo might be favored.
I just figured Boston's, they'd have to at least lose one by then.
Okay.
Where did the Warriors
pick
go?
Pick the one. Pick the one. Home Bucks on Monday.
I guess the one in Milwaukee, I guess.
No, wait. Hang on. I'm sorry. Pistons tomorrow.
Yeah, no.
Home Bucks?
Celtics win.
Okay. At Pacers?
I can see that one.
That's
honestly
a potential.
I can see
that's a potential. At Hornets, back-to-back?
The Hornets games are always kind of weird, but Celtics will take those, I guess.
I don't think they're losing those.
Yeah.
At Hawks?
No.
Home Warriors?
Oh, no. Tatum's going for 100 that day.
Home Nets?
No.
At Bucks is a possibility.
There it is right there. So there's at least three that we just picked out right now.
Three?
Three or two. Is the Pacers, and then I guess on the road on the Bucks. And the Hornets, like I said, always get one against Boston somehow, some way every year, so... No, right. I can see it. Yeah, I can see the Celtics.
Okay, so the 2015-16 Warriors won the
24
first 24 to start the season. They went 36-2 through 38 games. Like, but I don't know that there's anyone even close to the Celtics.
You're not wrong, but it's like it's tough to predict like just runs like that. Though I feel.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Like, if they do that, then it's just whatever. Winning all 82, and that's that. That's that. But
this is. If any team was going to do it, that's kind of my thing this year. Like, they have the formula, man. Mm-hmm. It's so the Warriors won that title in 15, but it was still like, okay, that was cute. Steph wasn't even the MVP of the finals. Like, okay, whatever. And then they go to 16, and it was like, nope. Very much still here, going to try and win every single game, and this group of players is going to maximize and peak all at the same time.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be a letdown with the Celtics this year.
Yeah, right, because they're still pissed.
Exactly.
Like, they're going out to prove a point.
Like, on Tuesday against the Knicks, it was kind of like they just picked up right where they left off from the finals.
Yeah, exactly. There was no, and that's where it wouldn't, I don't think this actually happens, but it wouldn't shock me if they're sitting there and going, hey, 73-9 is the goal this year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what we're chasing now. They think, okay, we got an easy path to the title, this and that. We're just going to wipe the floor with everybody all year.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I think they got the right coach to keep him in that mindset, too. I love Joe Mazzulla.
Yeah.
He's a good coach.
But yeah,
he is a lunatic.
Yes.
Which, I don't...
It's hey, look, you assembled a great team.
I guess, yeah.
I'm expecting him to win, like, three championships... Like out in a 5-year
yeah.
window.
Yeah.
And I think you're right. We're going to look back at this team and put them, like, I know the other day you mentioned like the Jordan Bulls, like they're not going to win 6 out of 8. And the
no,
only reason
but in,
lost two is because Jordan decided to go play baseball.
Yeah. And it's not that they'll be on that level, right? It's just, they'll be mentioned in that group.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that they're going to be one of the great Celtics like groupings of, you know, runs of players.
Yeah. Tatum and Brown have been great for so long, but it's like realistically they're hitting their prime now.
Yes. Like, that's the thing. Like, that's where the discourse around the Celtics gets sideways. Because it's like, oh man, these guys choked. They fell short. And like, look, they were the better team in this series and in that series or whatever. And it's like, yeah, they went up against the LeBron Heat when Jason Tatum was 20. And yeah. They took him to 7. Yeah, they went up against the Warriors at the last end of their run, a team that had been there time and time again in their first trip to the finals. Yeah, that happens. It's not like they were all in their prime and not able to put it all together.
Yeah.
Like, they did it last year. We saw it happen. Jason Tatum, their best player, wasn't even the MVP of the conference finals or the finals.
Yeah, he's still 26.
He's 26!
Jaylen Brown's 28.
Come on!
You know, Derek White's 30. He's got years. You know,
especially Derek White's going to be awesome for until he's 37.
Yeah, probably
in his role.
35, 36.
Man, like you said, you'd probably have to pick the Celtics just because of the volume of games.
Yeah,
but if you told me that the Chiefs lost before the Celtics, I would not be shocked.
I hope you guys are right.
It's a good question. Should have been one of our. It should be a mystery, like hanging out there.
I'm keeping track.
Mad props.
You want to throw it in here?
No, because first? Like, how do we track it?
I'm picking Boston. How do we track it?
Well, just like whoever gets it like 3 weeks from now or 2 weeks from now.
No, wins. You just pick. Does Boston or Kansas City lose first?
Okay, let's add it. Yeah.
Wanna add it to this one?
Yeah, might as well.
It's fine, we'll just double back on it.
Now we have to start the music, go all over again, and like
it's time for Mad Props. Two games, two props. Which
you know, let's just go over them all again.
That's okay, for here Kyle we go. And James to decide.
Can't read you.
Here's Mad Props.
All right, Jesse, Jordan Mason rushing attempts. And
No, I'm just kidding. So I'll take the Celtics taking their first loss before the Chiefs.
Boston losing first.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say Chiefs. Chiefs lose first.
I love this. I love this for you guys. So Jesse, I gotta turn this down. So Jesse has. I'm taking Boston to lose first as well.
You could have convinced me like the Chiefs could have lost to Tampa Bay before they lost their two best receivers.
Yeah, that's it. Yes. Yes.
I'm calling Chiefs lose to Raiders this weekend. There it is. No. I'm not. Gardner Minshew.
What if that was the take? But then Boston loses to Detroit tonight.
Well.
Or tomorrow.
Don't even put that in that universe.
All right, so make it happen. You're taking KC. And Jesse and I have the Celtics losing.
That's amazing. I can't believe Jesse when he gets his team.
She's got to be a little bit realistic.
It's odds. It's just the odds.
Yeah, she's got to play the
it's
odds.
Just more games. I haven't figured out what time we need to be out yet. What were your... Did you have any... Did my mind was not changed about the Kings at all last night. Nothing happened that made me go like, I'm off my 51-31 prediction.
Oh, you're 51-31?
51-31. That's right, where I landed.
I'm there too. I felt a little bit better about it yesterday.
Mm. I think I'm 49-33.
I'm at least 50. That's where I'm at. I don't have like a set record. I'm at least 50 wins for them this season. I thought it was good. You could tell yesterday was kind of like get DeMar out there, let him do his thing. I think they'll figure out the flow and get that all done and all that, where it won't look as wonky. Defensively, I feel like they gotta figure out where they need to be. I feel like there was too many times yesterday where it was two guys like, oh, maybe I take him, you take him, but there's an open guy over here. They kind of just need to attack on defense and just know where they got to be, I think, a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I mean, like yesterday, DeMar wasn't great in the fourth quarter, but Monk starts stepping up. I think that's going to be a thing all season where it's just there's so many options. But yeah, I feel good about him.
Yeah, sorting out who the fourth quarter guy is or that hierarchy, I think, is going to be a big part of the first couple months.
Yeah. But I don't think it's going to be something where it's like, oh, the Kings can't, like, they're like off and on winning, win-loss. Like, I think they're going to be fine. I have them going like 7-3, the first 10.
Yeah, it's not a matter of they don't have a player to do it, so who does it? It's they have three guys who have been that dude for them necessarily, but who have been that guy in the league.
And I think it can be different every night.
Sure.
You know,
sure,
it doesn't
sure.
have to be the same. And, like, look, DeMar could have easily, like, figured out a way to get to the basket every single one of those times. That's just who he is. But yeah, I want to see Fox be more assertive. I'm a little worried that he, you know, like what's his knee going to look like after game one, like, you know, cause they play a day later.
Mm-hmm.
So, a little concerned that maybe we won't see like the full version of him against the Lakers, but maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
Do you think that hampered him at all last night?
Well, I mean, he went out of the game for like 2 minutes, and then I don't think he was super productive in the fourth quarter. He didn't score in the fourth quarter. Maybe he was, you know, playing like.
Do we get any kind of pregame injury update, or is that just whatever injury report comes out before the game?
I'm gonna guess that he's not gonna be on an injury report. Like, but that doesn't mean he's not gonna be like slightly hampered.
A little hampered.
Yeah.
Mm.
Mike Brown's got to figure out the rotations to him. Once he does, it look a lot cleaner too.
Yeah, that's the other thing with last night.
Was not a fan of Keon Ellis and Doug McDermott on the floor together yesterday.
Yeah. Any overreactions to last night? That's the other thing I come back to.
Yeah.
Like you've got a guy like Keon not playing at a high level yet. It's just a lot to figure out, man. That's why there's 82 of these things.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of game one stuff, but like overall, yeah, I thought it was good.
They'll look a lot different after five games.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Call me at Christmas.
All right, we'll do that.
It's my mantra.
Call you at Thanksgiving. Let's see. Kyle.
Well, I mean, I guess
here they are. Here they are, Kyle.
Yeah.
They're back.
I'm really excited for Thanksgiving this year.
Oh.
Yeah. Going down to SoCal, hang out with the family.
It's fire.
Nice.
It's going to be a good time.
Dolphins, Packers,
don't call me. 100% don't call me. Isn't it, don't we have Lions?
That's the morning game usually.
Oh,
Packers?
Yeah.
No, Dolphins, Packers.
I can't wait for
football.
It's
the 5:30 game on Thanksgiving.
Oh, the Lions play, did they get Minnesota?
Vikings? Yeah.
Might be Minnesota.
Hmm. Look at us not knowing our football game.
Why would they know the Lions' schedule?
Yeah, that's true.
They play an NFC North team.
Lions play at 10 o'clock on Thanksgiving. That's all you need to know.
Isn't it like 9:30? Don't they start a little
earlier? That's true. They do it a little earlier, I think.
What day is Thanksgiving? Is it the 28th?
Yeah, it's a Thursday.
Oh, they play the Bears.
The Bears. That would be great. Can't wait. Can't wait.
The Bears.
Fired up. Not nearly as fired up as I am for D'Lo and Casey, though. What do you guys got coming up?
We got you, Ham, Eddie Gonzalez, and King Stock.
Eddie Gonzalez?
Yeah. Eddie's weekly on Fridays, so make sure you tap
nice,
it on Fridays.
Oh, nice, man. I love that. Eddie Gonzalez, Jose the Etcetera, is with Kevin Durant. Dragging Kevin Durant on the internet after the Suns win the other night.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's great.
Shout out, Eddie.
He's a fun guy. Love Eddie. That'll be fun. So will D'Lo and Casey. They're going to take you into the weekend. James Hamm and I are done with this program until Monday. Can't wait to get back in and talk some Kings and talk some NFL with you on Monday. Stick around for D'Lo and Casey. They are next. He's James. I'm Kyle. We're the Insiders. Back with you Monday at 10. Until then, drink water and be nice, people. Boop!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.